want you to know this morning that I believe God's doing something special. And if you were at this altar and you need to return to it, I can preach while God's still ministering at the altar. So don't feel like you had to get back up. If you need to be here, you just come at any time. That's what we want to see God do, some amazing things. Father, we sense your presence. We understand, Lord God, that you're doing some things in people's lives. And Lord God, we don't want to get in the way of that. We don't want to hinder that. We don't want it to fall short because of something that we're doing or feel that we need to throw in there. Lord God, would you just continue in our hearts and in our lives? And we're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise. We're going to thank you in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. If you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. It's been one of those weeks, and evidently because of the altar being full and can sense that God's doing some things, I guess it's been one of those weeks for more than just me, as we see that sometimes I get to the point and I'm sitting there, you know, God, how can I get done all the things that need to get done? How can I be in two places at once? How can I comfort people at different spots and different ways and different circumstances? And I found myself early in the week saying, Lord God, Sunday's coming. Anybody been there that's been in that circumstance where, you know, Sunday's coming, you know, the objective, the thing you have to do, the thing that you're called to do, it's coming. And I found myself this week doing that. Lord, Sunday's coming and I don't have a message. But I want you to know the Lord has never let me down. He has given it to me sometimes at the last moments and late at night in different ways. There has been occasions that on Saturday night when I sit with my sermon all complete that the Lord has said, that's not what I'm going to have you do, and sent me into a panic late at night, spending hours doing a new message for the morning. He's changed it on Sunday morning a few times here that we didn't even have a message because he's gone and done something else. But in a perfect world, my sermon gets done on Saturday. My sermon gets done on Friday. I go over it a little bit on Saturday, and I get here before anybody else on Sunday morning and one last time go through it. That's in a perfect world, but how many know that we don't usually end up in perfect worlds? That the way you plan it don't always come out that way. And when I sat there and I thought, Lord, you know, Sunday's coming. What do I do? And what changed my week? It is this. I got an encouraging note from our new district superintendent. I spent in the middle of the week lunch with a good friend that spent some time with me, and I found myself looking at Sunday in a different order. And maybe that's you sometimes too. That, you know, I looked at it at one point, it was, Lord, Sunday's coming. That's the desperation side. And then later, after I was encouraged and after I spent time with a friend, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, Sunday's coming. And then for the Lord to do something like this morning, ministering to people's heart, just makes me even more want to get out of the way of what God's doing and allow him to do what he needs to do. You know, which one do you think encouraged me more? Do you think, oh, Sunday's coming, or Lord, Sunday's coming? Which one do you think ministered to me? Obviously, the one is desperation and one is relief and allowing God to just have freedom to be able to do what he needs to do. And obviously, it's realizing that the Lord was going to be my strength, realizing that the Lord has never let me down and had me to come to this pulpit unprepared. So Isaiah chapter 40 begins with the writer of Isaiah comforting God's people, comforting a nation, begins to allow them to remember what God's promises are. Verse 1 in Isaiah 40 says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hand has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord double for all her sins. And you see this as he's comforting these people and as he's reaching out and he's had some trials in his own life and things going on. He realizes that he sees that people are mad at God. Don't you see today that we live in a society that people are mad at God? They're waiting on God to do something. They're waiting on God to intervene in circumstances. They're waiting for healings. They're waiting for confirmation. They're waiting for restoration. They're waiting for encouragement, for God to take a dark cloud and turn it inside out and allow God to do something amazing. And then God shows up like this morning and just gives us that shot of an encouragement that he hasn't forgotten us, that he hasn't forsaken us, that he hasn't given up on us. Anyone asking God for something this morning? Anybody wanting to see God take a dark cloud and turn it inside out and allow his light to shine through it? Anyone here this morning just getting antsy and not wanting to wait on God and saying, "Where are you, Lord?" Anyone here this morning? God has a word for you. He has something to say to you this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31 says this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I told Josh this week as I saw the email going out to the worship team of the songs that it was a perfect song selection for the message this week. What a coincidence. What a coincidence. Just happened to be all the things that the Lord was laying on my heart. He was also laying on Josh's heart ahead of time. And all of these things begin to come together. So would you just bow your head for a minute? Let's have a word that God would complete what he desires to do in our lives. Father, this morning, would you do something amazing? Would you be what we need this morning? Would you speak to us? Would you give us the strength? Would you give us the ability to hear your word? Would you come to us and have our hearts be open, ready to receive what you've already started this morning? Would you complete in us? Would you break a hardened heart? Would you bring down barriers? Would you replace it with encouragement and strength and your power? Would we have new vision instead of looking at our circumstances? Would we keep our eyes focused on you this morning that you might get honor and glory in Jesus' name? Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now that's the way that I memorized that verse. That's the way that in the King James, that's the way I remember it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall walk and not grow tired. They shall walk and not be faint. They shall accomplish all that God wants them to accomplish. So let's go back to that encouraging note. You know, you're in a spiritual battle. Do you understand that this morning? A lot of people don't want to talk about that, but you're in a spiritual battle every day for the things that are going on in your life. You're in a spiritual battle for just life itself. Say amen to that. Because it's true. We you know, things are overwhelming. There's obstacles in our way. There's things going on. There's things that we can control, and there's things that we cannot control. And sometimes we just need a shot of adrenaline. Say amen to that. We need a service like this. We need someone to just send you an encouraging note. We just need to just have a friend come up and just say, you know what? I just want to spend a half hour with you. I have a long week, but I just want to spend a half hour with you. And we need those. And sometimes God uses His power and His might, and He intervenes, and He does it all Himself, and then sometimes He sends somebody else, an encourager, someone that would step in the gap. Sometimes He has us to be that person. And we know that in every situation, there's a time to wait, and there's a time to move forward. And sometimes we get them confused. Sometimes we think we're waiting long enough and we go ahead of God. Sometimes we want to move forward and it's not the right time. Sometimes we drag our feet and we don't move when we're supposed to. So it is very important that when God says wait, that we wait. It is very important when God says move, that we move. We see it all through Scripture that when we're obedient and when we're doing as the Lord is speaking to us and we're listening, that we see God do these mighty things. Back up with me again, back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is speaking and he says in verse 1, he says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling one to another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" What kind of God are you looking at this morning? Are you getting into His presence and you realize that you're serving a God that is almighty, a great God, a holy God, a just God, a God that can intervene at any moment? In our times of trouble, do you see a God that wants to intervene, manifest Himself and come and intervene with His wisdom and His strength? Are you serving a God that you're trying to outrun? Running away instead of running towards Him. Because it's when we run towards Him that we see God do amazing things. Flight or fight. And most of the time we choose to run. Or we buck heads with God. This morning I'm asking you, do you see Him as God Almighty? Do you see Him as a holy God wanting to get involved? Do you see Him as a God that you are praising this morning and lifting up the name of Jesus and wanting to be in His presence, giving Him permission to do all the things that He needs to do? Waiting on God when He says wait, moving with God when He tells us to. And the prophet reminds the people here, our God never fails. Our God never fails. That's what He tells the people. Our God never fails. The Lord will come and take care of His people. I love this. Our God is the creator of the universe. There is none like Him. Our God has no threats. Do you understand that this morning? The God we serve has no threats. There is no one or nothing that keeps Him up at night. That scares Him. Now, that should have been an amen there this morning. That really ought to get your praise on this morning. That ought to should have got you excited. And when you stop and you realize that we serve a God that desires to watch over His people. We sing a song, "Our God is an awesome God, He reigns." Somebody else can finish that. We sang it this morning, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord." That should fire you up. That ought to make us look right at that circumstance and that situation that we're in and know that God can intervene and come with a heart of expectation that God will intervene. I don't have all the answers, and I don't know why some people go through so much, and it breaks my heart. But it doesn't change who God is. And there are some lessons that we can learn this morning from this portion of Scripture. We see an illustration of an eagle. And when you see an illustration of an eagle, you always picture the biggest bird of prey, able to handle any circumstance. And if you know anything about eagles, they rise above the storm. They don't get excited when all other birds are hiding in their nest, wondering what they're going to do. The eagle just goes above it, looks down on it. And you see that, but you really don't understand that there's more to that eagle than just seeing him soar, because you have to understand what it took to get there. You had to understand the things that the eagle does to rise above those circumstances. So number one is this, if you're writing it down, he is the everlasting God. He is the everlasting God. He is not the God of the flavor of the month. Do you understand that? And this society wants to make him the flavor of the month. If it's a good month, oh good, I'll serve him. He's the everlasting God. He's not a God that you created. Do you hear me? He's not a God that you created. He created us. He is our creator. He is the creator of the universe. And he tells us in this portion of Scripture that even the young will grow weary, and even those that have wisdom will need strength. From Genesis to Revelation, we see that he's an everlasting God. David says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Only the Lord is everlasting to everlasting. Paul says, now the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God to be honored in glory forever and ever. And John says, I saw another angel flying through the heavens, carrying the everlasting good news to preach to the people who belong to this world, to every tribe, every language, and every people. Only an everlasting God can bring everlasting good news. Do you hear me? God wants to speak that into our hearts this morning. God wants to give us that encouragement. There's only one God, one everlasting God that comes from everlasting to everlasting, and we call him God. No one else can lay claim to that. 2 Peter says, and God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Apples and oranges, right from wrong, east and west. That's all the things that are above our pay grade, if you want to talk about it. Second thing this morning is his ways are higher than his ways. You know what? Trying to think like God is above your pay grade. It is. It's above your pay grade. We sit there and we want to just, you know, create this God that we like. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. My thoughts. What kind of God would he be if we could figure him out every time? What kind of God would he be if we could wrap our arms and mind around everything that he does? What kind of God would he be if we could predict when, how he was going to do something? What kind of God would he be if he worked out of the same small mind that we have? He would be a small God. He would be a God that you made and put in a box and told him how and what he could do, when he could do it. He would be just like us. We created, if we think that way, we created a messed up God instead of realizing he's God and we're messed up and we need him. We could not depend on him for our needs, because we've created a small God that's no different than we would. We wouldn't be able to go to him for strength because we're looking at only our talents. And he could be called into question. And we could doubt him because he would be just like us. But he's not none of these things. He's an awesome God. He's a big God. He's far above what we can do. And you know what I think is really terrific? God doesn't need a Nazarene nap. He doesn't need a Nazarene nap. He doesn't get tired. 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 29 says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lonely things of this world and the despised things to nullify the things that are, so that no one could boast before him." Why does God choose to use us? Because he feels like it. He don't need us. He chooses to use us. He wants to. He cares about us. He wants to be in our lives. God can do anything he wants to do. He's God and we're not. The only thing he can't do is something against his word. You can say amen to that. For those of us that are trying to get God to do something outside of his word, it ain't going to happen. God doesn't change. We need to change. So no one can stand before him and boast about how great they are and how good they are and how much they've changed themselves, because God doesn't work by our rules. He doesn't have to explain himself, but I'm glad sometimes he does. Say amen to that. I'm glad he does. He doesn't have to. But I like it when he does, just because he allows us to know and we can get encouragement and strength from that. The third thing is this: those who hope in the Lord are strengthened. When we begin to see who God is, when we begin to put our hope and our faith in that kind of a God that is outside of our abilities and our talents, we'll have more services like this morning, where God intervenes and shows us who he is. But those who wait upon the Lord, those who expect, those who look, those who put their hope in the Lord, that actually come in here on a Sunday morning expecting God to do something tremendous, we will see God do these things. Rise above our circumstances. I'm so glad that Thomas Jefferson didn't win that debate and the turkey would be our national bird. Frankly, I think a lot of people act like turkeys, so I really don't want to soar like a turkey. I want to soar like an eagle. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. This is God's word, anyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Scripture tells us that we won't be disgraced. We won't be disappointed and we won't be ashamed when we put our hope and our faith in the Lord. That actually, when we do that, he will give us his strength. Number four and the last one, he will rise above our circumstances. We will rise above our circumstances. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Here's what I was telling you before. True success rarely happens overnight. All kinds of stories about how ugly eagles are before they become eagles. How they're kicked out of the nest and they flight or fight. And the mother will soar down and scoop them up until they learn how to fly, until they learn to act like they are the domestic bird. See, we see business owners, this might be for someone this morning, we see business owners whose business seems to just take off. It seems like it's magical. We see athletes who break records and we don't understand, and they don't even break a sweat and they seem to be breaking these records. And then we see those marriages of people that just seem to be, after so many years, on their honeymoon. And we compare ourselves to them. And we think that they must have some special gifts that we don't. But what we don't see is all the hard work that's involved in it. We don't see how hard the business owner works. We don't see the training that an athlete does. We don't see the two people working on their marriage to make sure that nothing gets in between it. See, I remember when I started running, I could run for 60 seconds and I would be tired. But now, being the elite athlete that I am, I can run for 60 seconds and I don't even get tired anymore. Just wanted to see if you're listening. The reason that so many people fail is that they don't stick to it. I know it's hard, and I know when we're going through these circumstances, you're in the middle of a divorce, or you're in the middle of a lost loved one, or you're in the middle of a circumstance beyond your control, for somebody to say, just hang in there, is probably the worst and the last thing you want to hear. But if we could stand on God's word, wait upon the Lord, that He will renew us and strengthen us and have us soar like wings of eagles, and believe that He'll do it. It takes faith, and you have to look by faith, because your circumstance doesn't show it. But all we see is the eagle soaring, and we forget that is a massive bird. It takes a lot of thrust to get that bird in the air. Do you understand me this morning? To go through and break those barriers and obstacles to get to the point where they're soaring, it takes strength. It takes practice. It takes all of these things to be able to rise above your circumstances. Because you're watching somebody soar doesn't mean they didn't go through something. The same God that loves them loves you. And I don't know how He's going to do it, and I don't know what He's doing in people's lives. All I know is, let God be true and all others a liar. Stand on His promises. Watch God do something amazing. For all of you that were at the altar this morning, I'm praying that God would give you exactly what you need. For those that were sitting in those pews, chairs this morning, forgot what church I'm in. Chairs this morning. Realize that God wants to do something amazing. And stand on His promises. Don't give up. Don't let go. White-knuckled Christians make it. Do you hear me? Don't let go. Getting ready to close. And I just want you to remember these things this morning. As you look at this text, remember that we serve an everlasting God. We didn't create Him, He created us. We sometimes forsake Him, but He'll never forsake us. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand why He does things the way He does. But He's God, and He's got this. And our hope is in the Lord. I said it before, as long as I'm a Christian, I can't understand how somebody could go through some of these things without knowing the Lord. I can understand depression. I can understand wanting to commit suicide. I can understand drugs and alcohol and all these other things as being a substitute for the things that we go through. I understand that. We need the Lord to rise above our circumstances, to give us that strength, to give us that ability to endure when there's not one ounce of strength and your pitcher is empty. We need the Lord to see us through those times. Amen? God is good, and He will see us through. There are good days ahead for every one of us. Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You for what you're doing. Lord God, we don't understand it. All we want to do is get out of the way of it, allow You to move in our lives. And again, those that are right in the midst of chaos and hurt and not knowing what is next. Lord God, would you give them everything that they need to bring them out? I'm praying, Lord God, for all of those that took the time this morning to lift up their needs to you, those unspoken things, those things that just, they crying out to you, Lord. I pray you would bring them above that circumstance. Raise them up above it. May there be a testimony on their lips. May the things that are barriers come down in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.